Good morning. We welcome you this morning to Living Waters Community Church in Casa Grande, Arizona. I'm so glad you've joined us today for the message from the Word of God. I'm going to talk today about clay in the potter's hands. Clay in the potter's hands. Let us just bow our heads and thank Jesus that the Holy Spirit has been given to reveal Himself to us. Thank you, Lord. We come to you. You know that I'm just a vessel of clay. I pray that you will use me to bring the message that you want to speak to us. I thank you, Lord, that your message is always uplifting and it tells us exactly how you want us to live and gives us the courage and the strength in knowing how we can do it through Jesus Christ alone. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Clay in the potter's hands. God has a very special design. He has a plan and purpose for each of our lives, and His desire is to bring that plan and purpose to fruition. He wants to make it happen. We work with our children when they're little sometimes, and we say, "This is what I want for you, but that you have to go this route. You have to take this path." It may require an uncomfortable and perhaps even painful process. We think about a child that is trying to run out in the street, and we have to tell them, no, you cannot go in the street, and sometimes it takes a spat. Sometimes it takes correction. I'm reminded of an example I saw on a veterinarian program. I watch that often. Dr. Pohl, some of you might watch him. Anyway, a dog had a bone wedged in his jaw and could no longer eat, and he was dying. He began to die because of the bone. The dog's master tried to remove the bone, but the dog resisted and would not surrender to the removal of the bone. We do that many times in our lives. There's something that's hindering our growth and causing us to die spiritually, but we resist the help of somebody to help us to remove it. The veterinarian removed the bone, although it was a painful process. Probably he had to put him under because he didn't. Sometimes I think God has to put us under, so to speak, in order to save our lives. And this vet saved the life of the future of that dog. It's a painful process when God brings us through a refining. It is not fun. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it hurts. In Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, we read the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. He said, go down to the potter's house. There I will give my message to you. He wanted to tell Jeremiah something, so Jeremiah went down to the potter's house, and he saw him working at the wheel. God had a message through this material example. But the pot he was shaping, he saw the potter working at the wheel, but the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. Something was wrong with it. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. God told Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house and watch him make a vessel. As Jeremiah was watching the potter refashion the vessel, something unusual happened. The potter suddenly stopped in the middle of the process. The vessel was not turning out the way he intended. So he wadded the clay back into a ball, pressed his fingers deep into the clay, and beat it with a wooden mallet to remove the air bubbles. Sounds like it would be very painful, which it is many times. The scripture says the vessel was marred. Marred means it was unfit or unprepared. There was something about the vessel that was defective. It had bubbles or stones or lumps. What about the potter in this story? Was he unskilled? Was it his fault that the vessel was defective? No. We read in the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, can I not do with you as the potter, as the potter does, declares the Lord. Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. God wants to create him. As the song that we heard this morning, the potter knows the clay, knows exactly what we have need of. God is the potter in this story. He does not lack the ability to form a vessel. In Genesis, the second chapter, we read where God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. So we know the problem was not with the potter and his ability. He formed a man out of dust, out of dirt. That means the problem must have been with the clay. There were still some impurities in the clay that needed to be removed. Perhaps there were air bubbles that would cause the finished product to break. We don't know what the problem was. We only know that there was something wrong with the clay that would cause the finished product to be less than what the potter had planned. The potter had to make a decision. Should he throw the clay away or determine it was completely useless? No, he chose to refine whatever was wrong with the clay and start again. I'm reminded of a song that I wanted also. There are lots of songs you want to sing that go along with it. I always hear them. But then their song says, he's the potter and we are the clay. The song says, empty and broken, I came back to him. A vessel unworthy, I was so scarred by sin. But he did not despair. He started over again. And I bless the day he didn't throw the clay away. He doesn't discard us. The potter probably had to start over several times. There wasn't just one problem with the clay, yet the potter did not give up. He patiently worked with the clay until he was able to produce what he had planned. God is looking for a yielded clump of clay, one who will trust him to be in control. And we heard the song this morning, I'll trust the potter's hands. He knows what's best for me. And so if the dog had not let the vet remove the bone wedged in his jaw, he would have been worthless as a companion or as a work dog, and he would have died. But he had to submit to the hand of the vet. I think of my friend Elizabeth, and many of you may know her. As a child, she'd been terribly mistreated and abused by a stepmother. She grew older and ran away from home, old enough to get away from the abuse and the chicken pen she was held in and the terrible situations. She ran away, but God had a special purpose for her life. She became a Christian. It's a long story. She stood here and gave her testimony years ago. But she found that Jesus in this church. And she became a Christian. God used her to reach out to broken people. She had a way with people when we went up and down the street here, ministry, and there was somebody he looked like he was somebody you'd be afraid of. She was not. She walked up to me and she put her arm around him and said, Jesus loves you. And the guy didn't attack her. He was broken. She had a way because God had done something for her. And she would lead them to Jesus, but her clay vessel still had a bubble, a flaw that God wanted to remove. She still had unforgiveness toward her abusive stepmother. And she had not seen her for many years and had no desire to see her. But one day a person brought the message to her that her stepmother wanted to see her. She immediately refused. She said no. And they kept on. She really wants to see you. And God tugged at her heart. So she went to the hospital bed of her dying stepmother. And I'm leaving a lot of the little side things out. And she went to that hospital bed and demonstrated the same love that Jesus had when he hung on the cross when he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Elizabeth held the emaciated body of her stepmother, picked her up and held her in her arms and rocked her. Her stepmother was ushered into the presence of Jesus because Elizabeth was willing, though painful it was, to get on the potter's wheel and be refined. It was not her desire. She didn't want to, but she did it because she needed that refining work. Sometimes we feel like we have arrived and we're walking with Jesus, but there may be things in our lives, a bubble or some pebble that needs to be removed. that God may allow a refining fire so that we will come forth as pure gold to fulfill his purpose. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Jesus, even he who was perfect without sin, he had such heaviness. And God had a plan for Jesus to take our punishment and to purchase our redemption. He had to be willing to do that. He was not forced. He could have called angels to remove him immediately, but he did not. Jesus endured the crushing. The Bible says Jesus agonized and fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "Father, if it is possible, take this cup from me." But he added to it, he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." We too must trust the potter's hand. He knows what's best for us. There's a story of a man and his wife in the horse and buggy days that perhaps I've told you before, but they were driving along a very narrow and dangerous stretch of road. The woman became extremely nervous and grabbed one of the reins. As calmly as possible, the husband offered her the other strap. "Oh, no," she cried, "I don't want them both. I could never manage that animal alone." "Well, then," he replied, "you must make your choice. It's either you or me." The same is true with God. We cannot hold on to part of our decisions, our lives. We have to give him full control. We can't both drive the same horse. She then surrendered full control of the carriage to her husband. And God is requiring us, if we want him to control and to lead us and guide us and protect us, we have to give him control of our lives. Full control, not half. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve two people. Some people try to do that in serving God and then serving someone that's in the world, and they try to follow. It can't be done. You cannot do it. Don't be like the man who rode in his car while it was being towed to be repaired. He wanted to stay in the car. And so they towed him in the car. And when they arrived at the repair shop, the tow truck driver said, "I didn't think I was going to make it up that big hill." And the man replied, "I didn't either. That's why I kept the brakes on, so we wouldn't roll backwards." That's what we do sometimes. God wants to work in our lives, and we step on the brakes, and we say, "I don't think I can really make it. I don't think he can really do it. I've got to hold up on." And to live without total dedication to Christ is the same as trying to go forward and holding back at the same time. We have to completely trust him. I'll trust the potter's hands. He knows what's best for me. There are things that have happened in your life that you say, "I don't understand." There are things that have happened in my life I say, "I don't understand." But he knows, and I have to surrender that to him. He knows what's best for me. In Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, verses 5 and 6, I think this is probably one of Pastor Richie's favorite verses. He used it a lot. And it's, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." He will guide you if you trust in him with all your heart and not on your own understanding. Sometimes we're in the potter's wheel and we don't know why. We feel the pressure of the potter's hand as he is remolding and making us. We are tempted to be angry with God and perhaps question his wisdom and his goodness. Isaiah, the 45th chapter, he said, "Woe to him who strives with his maker, an earthen vessel with a potter." Isaiah even said, "Woe to the person that contends with God, the one who made him. Does the clay say to him who fashions it, 'What are you making?' Or your work has no handles? It doesn't have the convenience. Why did you make me this way?" There are a lot of young people and older people today who are disgruntled with life. and even say, I don't even want to live because I don't feel like I look the way that I should look. And yet God created them. And we argue and say, God, why did you make me like this? Of course, there are things we can do to improve our lives, but we don't argue with what God has made. Our response should be that of the Isaiah, the 64th chapter. You, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Isaiah, the 55th chapter, verse 9, he said, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, says the Lord, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We cannot begin to understand and to think like God thinks. If we could, we'd be a creator, wouldn't we? Some people say, well, I'll believe in God whenever he comes down to my level. If he were at your level, he would not be God. He would not be the God that created you. But he is above us, and we cannot understand, but we submit to him. We cannot always see areas that need improvement, cannot always see what lies in the future, or understand how something bad today can turn out for good tomorrow. There are things that seem like it's terrible, and yet we look back and we say, if that hadn't happened, I wouldn't have made this choice. I saw on a program on the TV, I saw this man that had been gone through the fire. And I think I may have told you this. And he was burned so radically burned. You say, why did that happen to him? But through that incident, he has led more people to Christ. And he has had a ministry because of that, knowing that he lived through it. Oh, yeah, he doesn't have an ear. He's got a fake ear, and he's got a fake this, and that. Everything is, you know, he was burned terribly, scarred. He could have said, I hate God for this, and given up. But instead he said, I will praise the Lord. I will give glory to you because you are in all things in my life. And so in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, the writer says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful. Things that are negative, they seem painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. We see children who have not undergone strict correction and training when they're little, and then they grow up to be extremely delinquent. And we say, why in the world? Well, you've got to put and I see even things in my life, I look back and say, if only this, if only that. I don't understand, but God wants us to know that correction and discipline is for our good. In Philippians, Paul wrote, he said, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. If he started something good in you, and he did, when you surrendered your life to Jesus, oh, you're not a very knowledgeable and Christian. You haven't, maybe you're not a prophecy teacher. You don't know all about it. But little by little, step by step, you're learning. Little by little, and God is on your side. And he will keep you and carry it out to completion until Jesus comes. In Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, verse 11, I will close with this. He said, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. God has plans for every one of us. They're not the same, but every one of them is to bring glory to him. He said, they are plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Plans to give you hope and a future. If we only understand that some of the difficult times and the hard places in our lives are really going to make a hope, give us a future. We understand things that we would have never understood had we not gone through it. I encourage you today, if you have not surrendered your life to the potter, to Jesus Christ, if you've not said, come and be the master of in control of my life, I let go of the reins and I'll let you direct it all. then I encourage you today to do that. Jesus wants to be the Lord of your life, and you'll never be sorry if you give Him that control. Let's just pray together. You agree to me as I pray in Jesus' name. We come to you, Lord Jesus, recognizing those that are listening. Perhaps they're sinners. They've sinned. You say we've all sinned and we've against you, and we're not worthy of your glory. But I thank you, Lord, that you made an escape for us, because you said that we could call on the name of the Lord and we'd be saved. And we've come to you now recognizing our sin and recognizing, admitting that you died on the cross to take away our sins. And we give them to you. And when you take our sins, you give us your righteousness. And we accept it now in Jesus' name. We receive your righteousness. We are new creation. A new person in Christ Jesus. Help us, O Lord, to understand that there will be times that we'll have to crawl back on that potter's wheel and be purified and go through the honing and the correction, but that's okay. You are there and you know the clay that you have made. Thank you for it, Lord, and we thank you for your blood in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you today for joining us at Living Waters Church. I trust that Jesus Christ has become the Lord of your life. May you have a blessed week. I know. Hard to see when it's sideways. Okay. Do we have any? I'm trying to... if there's anybody else that wants to go to youth camp that you know of, if you have anybody in your family, then we need that for sure. At the end, I've sent in applications, but if there's somebody else that still wants to go, I think we can squeeze them in. But it'll be a wonderful time.